Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Specht.
Hello.
How's it going, Derek?
Why do I always say hello?
Because you said it in the first show, the second show, the third show, the fourth show.
We tried many different things.
Yeah, but it didn't stick.
And now it's just, but is this stick? Is this the thing I'm going to do every time?
461 episodes. I think it's going to be your thing. I'm thinking of shaving my beard. So you can get rid of hello, I'll get rid of the beard, and we'll start a brand new podcast.
There you go.
Paddling Not So Adventurous Radios.
Paddling After Dark.
That's a different show.
I don't know. Maybe it's just starting to bug me that this is the same hello at the first.
Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hey, suckers.
Didn't we just start? Why saying goodbye already?
Right?
Anyway, I digress.
And at the end, you can say hello. And then we sign off. And I'm Derek Specht. Hello.
Anyway.
Hey, you started it, buddy.
I know. It was in my mind. It's like, it starts to bug me that I say it every time.
Nah, it doesn't bug me.
Good evening.
And with me is Derek Specht. Good evening. Blah, 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 blah. Well, come up with something new. Get a whole list of new things.
I think for the first 20 episodes, it was something different every time.
Yeah, but that was like, what, 10 years
That's
ago?
That's back when we were idiots.
That was like 10 years ago. Almost.
Yeah.
And because I think this February, is that 10 years for us?
Is it? Yeah, it'd be.
No, 8 years.
Yeah, it's 8 years. 8 years. It's got to be 8 years.
Because we started getting everything together in 2015. Our first podcast was put up in 2016. So, yeah, 9 years.
It's been a while.
Right? So, yeah, I guess, yeah. So come up with a whole list of different things, and we can just start trying them.
Sure.
And on episode 500, you can pick a new one or just stick with, hello. It's sticking, isn't it?
It is simpler.
It is simpler. With me is Derek Specht.
I'm not wearing pants.
I'm not wearing pants. Where did this come from anyway?
Because it was on my mind.
Well, alrighty. It's going to be one of those days.
It is.
It has been.
So what's new with you?
Nothing.
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 Nothing new. Nothing's happening. The internet shut down. I didn't Google anything, which is so big of a lie. I should have bought shares in Google.
Oh, can you imagine?
I'd be so rich right now. And all the profits would be because of me. I just Google everything.
I saw a thing the other day. It's just, you know, you say, buy shares in Google. I should have bought shares in Microsoft. Somebody back in the day, it was the first cryptocurrency purchase. He bought a couple pizzas for like 80 Bitcoin. And that 80 Bitcoin is now worth about $100,000 per Bitcoin.
Ooh.
That's an expensive pizza.
That was a good pizza.
You always hear stories about somebody. Yeah, I threw away my hard drive. I had 1,000 Bitcoin on it.
Right?
It's like, oh, good luck.
Well, you know how many Bitcoin I have?
None. Same as me.
Zip, yeah. Zero, nada. Not a one.
Yeah. I remember all the hype back in the day. I remember back when it was like 10 or 11 cents a Bitcoin. And it's like, what kind of stupid stuff is this? Well, it's not stupid anymore.
If I knew then what I know now.
I know. I would have been.
I probably still wouldn't have bought any. I would. If you went back into the from the future and said, buy Bitcoin, would you believe you?
No, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't believe. Some guy comes up to me.
What crazy?
He says he's me from the future. why are you talking?
To send me some Bitcoin.
Buy Bitcoin, he said. Who is this guy? You don't know from nothing.
I definitely, if I could tell myself in the past, I would definitely buy a canoe pre-COVID. They're so expensive now.
I would have bought like 20 of them and then sold them at the same price or more. It would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Just think of the money. It's an investment. Yeah. Well, I, on the weekend, went out for
a paddle.
Paddle and a half, maybe?
Who'd you go with?
John. Huh. Our buddy John.
How's John doing?
He's doing good.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
It was cold this weekend, wasn't it?
No. It was actually rather nice.
Like, what, 5 degrees?
A little bit misty at times, but yeah, it was like 5 degrees Celsius.
So you got out on the water.
Yeah, we went down to Cherry Beach.
Okay.
In the kayak. Now, this is the same place. Remember back in the spring, I had that
panic attack
yeah. for no reason.
Last spring, this spring,
spring passed
in 2024,
like 6 months ago yeah. or 7 months ago mm-hmm. or whatever it was, and got on the water, got out, and just had this massive panic attack, mm-hmm. like get off the water.
Hmm.
So we did. We went to the same place.
Yeah,
thinking that's not going to happen.
It's twice. Gotta be the location.
So. It was a bit breezy, not too bad, because the area is somewhat sheltered yeah. with the islands and stuff like that. Got into the kayak, no problems, no panic attack, nothing, went boogieing out on the water. But the kayak just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been, like I say, I go in the summer in the kayak, and it's fine, I have no yeah. problems, I'm paddling here and there in some waves, and having a good old time, mm-hmm. right? But there's something about it. And so it didn't feel right, paddled back to shore at one point, got out, adjusted the foot pedals.
Yeah.
Right? To brought them back a bit more, figuring that might be it. And that didn't seem to clear things up. Feeling extra tippy, felt too crammed into the kayak, not comfortable. Hips and upper legs felt strained, felt constricted, not enough movement. Kayak is a fine one in the summer.
Yeah.
When I don't have all the gear on. I'm six feet tall, just over 200 pounds.
I was going to ask right? that because, like, the wrist and neck gussets, maybe it causes you're in a cockpit and of the kayak, and you've got the neck gusset, which is pretty tight around your neck. The wrist gussets were pretty tight around your wrists. So I wonder if that gives you, maybe it's a claustrophobia thing.
No, because that's the thing is I'm trying to figure it out because I do it in the canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Same deal, same gear, same everything.
But you're in a kneeling or sitting position right? as opposed to.
So that's what we're saying. And then when you're rammed into the same kayak in the winter.
Hmm.
There's not as much room.
Yeah, you're
you're not getting the same yeah. movement and everything. Just so, and that's all we can. We brought it out, so we went around the corner and to the corner and back and around. We're out for about an hour, and it just was not feeling comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not having the panic attack or yeah. anything, just wasn't feeling comfortable. So that's what we figured is this kayak I have. It's a Wilderness Systems. Tsunami 16
mm-hmm.
is great for me in the summer, but with all the extra gear and stuff, it is not good for someone yeah. my size in the winter
yeah.
with all that extra gear on it. And that's yeah. the only thing that we could figure out. That's what it comes down to is there's yeah. just not enough,
wiggle room
yeah. and whatnot. And
you feel confined and trapped.
Yeah. So I think I need a bigger kayak if I'm going to do cold water yeah. paddling. And like I say, yeah, I don't have the issue in the canoe,
mm-hmm.
you know, but like I say, yeah, I'm either kneeling or I'm sitting or yeah. I'm moving about, that sort of deal. And, I think it comes down to, there's just, you're just from the waist down, you feel trapped
yeah.
and it's pushing everything up as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
I loosened my PFD as loose as it would go. And, you know, it was out and about and there was enough room. Like it wasn't like... The gaskets around my neck and everything felt fine because I've stretched them and everything.
Yeah.
No problems, but it just.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was weird. So, but you know what? I'm happy that there wasn't the whole panic attack thing again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not comfortable with all the gear. Now, if I would have taken it all off, I probably could have gone zipping around, no problem. But
then it's very cold.
Yeah. I'm a tad chilly.
Yeah.
After about an hour of that, we decided, you know, let's pack it up and we'll head home. And that's the part that sucks. And I mean, number one, you know, John and I are talking, and I'm kneeling in the water
mm-hmm.
up to my waist beside my kayak, cause the water got in and crap like that. So, I'm kneeling there and we're having this chit chat and I'm just like, I figured out what I think this is what the problem is. And I mean, you think, well, I've been canoeing and paddling for more than 30 years. Mm-hmm. Should be able just to step into this. No, it's not that simple.
Yeah.
It's not always that simple. I mean, look at us when we went stand up paddleboarding. Oh, not a problem. Let's just get up on a paddleboard and wave. Hell no.
I remember the thing I remember most clearly about that day when we went out and tried the, with Warren King.
Yeah.
With the stand up paddleboards, the arches of my feet, because I was so tense trying to not fall in the water. Right.
And the two, and it was Remembrance Day, and we did the 2 minutes of silence.
Yeah, and I just remember the arches of my feet is like, oh my God, I got to get off this board. My feet are going to explode. Right.
So, I mean, that's what, you know, like I say, I mean, I looked at John and I said, you know what, I understand, I think, why this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we'll call it a day. Yeah. You know, he's fine with that. If you ever want to go with somebody that's not pushy and stuff, go with John. But it's just like, I'm disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go out and I wanted to go see, you know, because we're right down in Toronto Harbor and everything, right? And because you're going through all that, I totally forgot to take pictures.
Oh,
I got no pictures of paddling Toronto Harbor on the weekend. And I said, yeah, you know what? I'm just disappointed that, you know, because you're sitting there, oh, I'm going paddling today. I'm going paddling. And take all the time to put the roof racks on and drive all the way down there. And that's the other part is it's all the way downtown Toronto. It's
like
40 minutes or whatever, right?
Take some time. You've committed yourself to something.
Yeah. So, he said, you know what? Let's just pack it up.
Yeah.
We'll head back home, throw the canoe on, and we'll head down to Duffin's.
Yeah.
And we'll go do some paddling there.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan. So, packed everything up, headed home, put the kayak back on its rest, got the canoe, put it on the truck. And I'm heading down. I get this message from John. Yeah, I'm here. The river's frozen over.
Oh.
What?
Really? Like,
yeah, the river's frozen over.
It hasn't been that cold.
That's what I'm thinking. I mean, it's been cool, but...
Yeah.
I didn't think it was cold enough to freeze the river.
That's something.
So, and he goes, yeah, and there's huge waves on...
On the lake itself.
On Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
So... Falcon Brewing opens at 12. And I just like, meet you there. The paddling gods were not on our side.
Yeah, exactly, right?
So, yeah, we head over to Falcon Brewing for a couple local brews and chat about paddling. So, the dry suit, like I say, I was kneeling in the water at one point for a good 5-10 minutes and stayed dry, stayed warm.
What did you layer under it?
I had a... pair of thin
socks.
Well, I had socks. I had heavy socks, like wool socks.
Yeah.
I had a thin pair of
like a merino wool
pants. Yeah, merino wool pants, and another pair of track pants over top of that. Yeah. And then I had a wickaway shirt and two wool shirts, so each one a bit thicker, long sleeves over that.
Hmm.
So, yes, no problem moving around everywhere. Put the dry suit on. I had all full range of motion and everything until I got in that boat. But yeah, you know what? At least I know the layering system I'm using is working.
Yeah.
Cannot recommend a dry suit enough for cold water paddling. So until I get over that whole range of, or get into a bigger boat, I guess my dreams of us joining West Hanson in the Northwest Passage isn't going to happen.
So I keep thinking about that with West Hanson and whatnot. And one thing that concerns me is that I perspire a lot. And I'm thinking, like, I remember quite a few times going paddling somewhere, it's rainy, and I'm sweating as much water on the inside of my rain jacket as
well, I can. That's why I wear the wickaway stuff
wool. And so can you imagine having to do like a 10, 12-hour day paddling Northwest Passage and you're sweating your butt off and you're just getting just as much wet inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things like, oh. Because it's the, when I've done a lot of winter camping and I've done the various traverses in the winter, I always fight very hard not to sweat.
Right.
Because it's just, when you're at minus 20, minus 30 degrees, as soon as you start to break a sweat... then you're wet.
So when I go on my canoe trips in the winter with the dry suit and everything,
mm-hmm.
I get everything on the load up the truck.
Yeah.
Jump in the truck and you're already sweating.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to your destination, you're all dry.
Yeah.
And then you get your canoe off. You load all the gear into the canoe.
Yeah.
Then you get your dry suit on.
And you're getting wet again.
And, oh, my God, it's such... You're tugging this way, tugging that way, getting this and that and whatnot. And by the time all said and done, you're like...
I'm exhausted.
I need a nap. But you go, yeah, and then that's the thing, is you go out all day paddling.
Mm-hmm.
You have that really good paddle. You're making good distance or whatever, but you're trying not to sweat too much.
You're trying not to work too hard.
Yeah. And then when you get back... Well, then, of course, you got to put everything back onto the truck and load all the gear back into it. Then you got to get out of the dry suit and everything like that. And by the time you get back in your truck, hopefully you've started it and it's warmed up by then. There's times where I'm like, well, I'll just throw my stuff in there. I'll get everything on. And then you jump in and you're sweaty. And
cold,
you start
easy,
your truck.
Icy. Yeah, exactly.
And your truck starts blowing cold air. Yeah. Like, this really wasn't thought out well, was it? But, yeah, you try to limit how much you sweat if you can.
Because once the chill gets into your bones.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's what does it. There's being cold. And with me, it's always my upper. My legs can be cold.
Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. But my upper, like the core and everything, like if that's cold, I'm cold.
There's one thing. I lived for a period of time in Halifax, Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. And winters there, it's like, it could be -5 or it could be -20 or -30. They all feel like -30 because it's a wet cold.
Yeah.
And you can see there's always these crystals and humidity in the air from the ocean. And I hated winters in Nova Scotia.
See, in Saskatchewan, it was always dry.
Yeah.
It's a total that'd
be
dry.
Fine.
No, it wasn't.
Well, no, but it is fine.
But no,
it's better.
It's, yeah. I would prefer the dry Saskatchewan to the wet coast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even here we get sometimes it's just nasty wet.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just like the heat. Here it's a wet, humid summer, whereas in Saskatchewan, it's just dry.
I've been in Texas in June, July, and it's like, you know, you go by a truck stop, and it's like, you can see the sign, 110 degrees, whoa, and you leave the air-conditioned cab, and you step outside, and it's like, how can people recreate outside?
Right?
110 degrees,
how do people live
100%
here?
Humidity, and it's like, as soon as you step outdoors out of an air-conditioned vehicle, it's like you feel like somebody just threw a bucket of water on you. It's
right?
Like, whoa!
Yeah.
I imagine you'd acclimate to it, but you imagine going on a canoe trip and in that heat, humidity, and trying to paddle, and you're just, it's like, if I drink too much water, I'm going to get super hydrosis or whatever, and yada, yada, yada. It's like, I need electrolytes.
Right? So all in all, not the day that was planned, but learned a few new things, which is always an added bonus when it comes to paddling. You know, you can't jump into it thinking you know it all.
Yeah.
You know, we learned a few new things and thinking, well, you know what? Like, I thought, yes, got all the equipment. Let's jump in. And then, it just doesn't translate from summer to winter as easy as.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple of steps. So I definitely think, need.
More time.
A bigger cockpit,
or
wider.
Just become more comfortable. If you get out a couple more times, even if they're just for a half hour at a time, and
that's too much work to get all that done.
I know. But it's about calming the brain, right? Because I think at this point, your brain's just not ready for it. The confining feeling of being in the tight cockpit with a dry suit on and all your underlayers and life jacket that's squeezing around you as well. It's like, oh.
No, I definitely think I need a wider kayak. Yeah. Yeah, with that thing, because, like, I mean, I'm trying to put my hands down the side.
And it's tight.
And it was, I mean, if I tipped, I could push myself out of it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But it wouldn't be, like, a slide-out greased pig going out sort of thing.
Squirt.
Yeah. I'm not just straight out sort of deal. So, yeah, I think part of it is just, like, I'm just too confined here and... But, hey, you know what? Better finding out now than going on a massive trip somewhere than finding out.
Oh, yeah,
out,
I know, right? Can you imagine?
Like, we talked about going to Antarctica
yeah.
and doing the paddle down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How was your paddle? Well, I got out. 5 minutes later, I got out again.
Enough of that.
I got out of the boat, then I got out of the water.
Yeah.
We're not having any of that.
All I was doing was a Zodiac.
Yeah. Anyway, so it was a good day. Okay. All in all, it was a good day.
What's up, Athena? She's trolling.
Yeah. The door is open. You can go push the door open.
She doesn't know that.
Yeah. No, she's... We have the office dog down here. Right?
We haven't had the HR cats down here in a long time.
No, they just, you know, they're themselves. They're cats. What do you expect? Speaking of kayaking in cold water, being the Atlantic.
Oh, yes.
Cyril Derimo.
That's South Atlantic, though.
Still Atlantic.
I know, but
still
it's...
Still cold.
Not that cold.
Colder.
I give you that.
He's setting out on his Atlantic trip December 19th. So that's today, if you're listening to this podcast, the day's released.
Just post on the 19th.
Yeah. He's starting in the Canary Islands, crossing the Atlantic Ocean, heading for the Lesser Antilles Archipelago.
Yeah, sounds like such cold weather.
Yeah, he was supposed to leave December 17th, which is today, recording.
He was supposed to leave today,
the day we're recording, but instead he's leaving the 19th, the day we post the podcast.
Yeah.
It's all about us, dude. they're delaying it a couple days because of weather. He does say that, you know what, like postponing a couple days at this point isn't going to change the outcome of the trip. So he'd rather start with the wind going in a better direction and stuff like that. So, Solo Kayak the Atlantic.com. You can find out more information about the trip. He's got a live tracker of his location. He's got a weather map there. The last time you'd go to the tracker page and there was he'd make little posts every day, couple days about what he's seeing. Saw whales today. Saw, you know, went for a swim today or doing my laundry today.
Yeah.
Little quick messages that he put up about, so you can follow along and see what he's doing on the
trip. Which is good. It's good to keep people engaged. When they see him posting all those little things, people become engaged and committed.
Part of it.
Yeah, part of it. So, yeah, if he was only posting once a week, people would go, yeah, whatever, I forgot.
Yeah.
But it's all the little things to follow his little journey.
Solo Kayak the Atlantic.com. There's a whole bunch of information on there, all about his trip. So go check that one out and follow along. I know we're going to be following him along again. You want to start a debate?
Do I want to start a
debate? Let's start an online debate. Found this thing about Miss Manners. Miss Manners. It's like sort of like the Ann Landers, Dear Abby. Sort of thing.
Yeah.
Dear Miss Manners, I go canoeing with several other retirees. One member of our group has a habit of squatting in the river to urinate instead of going behind a bush and dropping her drawers. I don't think she should assume that it is okay to ride in others' cars in her peed-in shorts at the end of the day. She maintains that when she gets in the water, the river washes her shorts as well as your washing machine. Do you have any thoughts on this? Gentle reader, only that Miss Manners will be taking the bus home. Thank you.
100%. I don't know why somebody would choose to do that.
I know people that when we're wading in water and stuff, they'll just pee right in the water.
Hmm.
Like through their whatever they're wearing.
Yeah.
Figuring the water's going to wash it all away. I know people that do this and think nothing of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. In my thoughts, it's bad enough there's enough whatever in the water. And so, especially on a camping trip, if you're at a campsite and you're starting to filter water and it's like,
you look up the river and something.
We're going to be drinking this water in about 10 minutes. What are you doing? Right? So keep the soap out of the water. Keep the pee out of the water.
Well, it's different if you pee in the water, like a river or something, and that current's moving it 10 minutes away, that pee's not there anymore.
But what about the guys 10 minutes upstream who are also camping and peeing in the river and it gets to you just as you fill your water bag?
At least it's not your pee.
Jeez. No, but, it's one of those things. It's, you want, natural filtered water comes off the land and all the contaminants get sand filtered, surface filtered, whatever. And last thing you need is people just openly. There's enough animals.
Peeing all willy-nilly all over the place.
There's enough moose and bears peeing in the creeks and rivers. I don't need humans to do it too.
So if there's a moose around the river bend and he's peeing in the river,
you can't, but that's what they do. But a human can make a choice.
Moose pee is okay.
You know, it's
people pee.
You can't change what the moose does. You have no effect.
Moose, I don't want, come on, up on shore, pal.
Thinking, conscious, and somewhat intelligent human being, it's like, what are you doing?
Peeing in the water. What are you doing? I myself am a shore peer.
Yeah.
I get out and stop before I get back in the boat.
And not just there 5 feet from the water. It's like I go into the woods.
Yeah.
Let the trees and the roots and the dirt and the sand filter it.
But I do know people that are like,
I've
crouched down and
have
a tinkle while cooling off. There's a debate.
Back to this story, though, is she's squatting in the water and peeing through her swim trunks and then going to sit in somebody's vehicle afterwards?
But see, they don't tell you how, like, they don't know. They're not saying, so she peed, got out, and went and sat in my car. Or she peed, and then we canoed for another 7 hours.
Yeah.
And then got in my car.
So it was dried pee, so it's fine.
Which begs the question, if you're complaining that she peed and then got in your car, why are you letting her sit on your seats with wet shorts, regardless if she peed or not?
Put a towel down.
This is what we have issues with.
Yeah.
So there's a debate you can start right there.
No, I do not want to
pee in the
this.
Water, or do you pee out of the water?
Last thing I need to see is all the trolls making me angry as they... make, you know, a lot of people online, an online debate never goes well. Some people are there just to let the world burn.
7,000 people pee in the water. Derek doesn't.
Sean does.
Starting tomorrow, next time we're on a trip, buddy, I'm peeing in the water. Hey, were you filtering water in there? Dare you?
Why are you filtering water where I pee?
Yeah.
Go get your water somewhere else.
My dog used to squat in the water and poop.
Oh, really?
Underwater.
Wow.
He would walk out.
Yeah.
And like you just see him, it looked like he was sitting on the bottom. No, he was pooping underwater.
Dog, what are you doing?
I am.
You're going to get a leech.
Not my dog.
You're going to get a leech.
Right? Anyway, I just came across that. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
No, I get out. I before I get back in the boat, I'll pee.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm out in the lake or something, you know what? Next portage, I need to have a pullover. Canoe and kayak market.
Oh, yes.
There's a study on industrial growth of canoe and kayak market for 1924. 2024 to 2030. So the next 6 years.
These numbers are staggering.
Right?
I got to say.
It's a detailed study accumulated to offer the latest insights about acute features of the canoe and kayak market.
Acute features?
Acute ones. The report contains different market predictions related to revenue size, production, consumption, gross margin, price, and other substantial factors, while emphasizing the key driving restraining forces for this market. The report also offers a complete study of the future trends and developments of the market. It also examines the role of leading market players involved in the industry, including their corporate overview, financial summary, and SWOT analysis.
Right. You just put a whole bunch of people to sleep.
Right? I did not buy the report. I'm just going by what I could get from this. According to HTF Marketing Intelligence Consulting, the canoe and kayak market is estimated to reach $3.5 billion U.S.
Now, by 2030.
Worldwide
market?
Yeah. Currently pegged at $2.2 billion U.S.
So it's going to go up by $1.3 billion in 6 years.
2019, the market size was $1.8 billion. Since then, the growth rate of 7.2% was witnessed in the market. Now, stand-up paddleboarding, they didn't give the numbers, like the actual amounts.
Yeah.
But they're saying they're having an annual growth rate of 8%.
Mm-hmm.
So stand-up paddleboarding is actually growing more than canoeing and kayaking.
Hmm.
So the major players covered in the report are Pelican International from Canada, Hobie Cat Company from the U.S., Wilderness Systems from the U.S., Old Town Canoe U.S., Jackson Kayak U.S., Advanced Elements from the U.S., Perception Kayaks from the U.S., and Ocean Kayak from the U.S. So all these big-name kayak companies and that we know. Market trends, they base it on inflatable kayaks, lightweight materials, and community water sport events. Market drivers, they're saying, is the popularity in water sports, adventure tourism, and increasing outdoor recreational activities, which we definitely noticed once COVID ended.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Massive increase in outdoor recreational activities. And the market challenges are weather dependency, high equipment costs, and safety concerns.
Hmm. It just staggers me that the numbers are going to increase that rapidly.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge growing industry. Like, any manufacturer, like, you know, here, what, we have Swift and so on. It's like, these numbers must be very encouraging for them.
It's got to be. And, I mean, when you're looking at this sort of stuff, when you look at, you know, like the stand-up paddle boards and you're looking at the canoes and the kayaks, like, then you got to, I mean, this is the canoe and kayak market.
Mm-hmm.
What it doesn't say, though, is does this take into effect the accessories that go with, or is it just the boats themselves? Like, does this include life jackets? Does this include paddles? Does this include all the extra little bits?
And they didn't say if it involves that?
No,
you'd have to pull the study.
I would have to spend the like $500 and get the actual study. Yeah. I like you people, our listeners, but I'm not spending $500 to get a bunch of legalese and financial ease.
Yeah, but these studies are usually available for free.
Well, that's when you got to pay for.
Does it say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I clicked on the link.
They're trying to recoup their costs.
Right? Yeah, of having to do this. So anyway, so onwards and upwards still with the canoe, kayaks, and stand-up paddle boards. If you are looking to go to the Boundary Waters in 2025, because, you know, this is the time you need to start planning all your trips,
mm-hmm.
because most people's tripping has ended up here in North America, and you got to get going on 2025.
Yeah.
You know, I know you're planning a trip apparently with some buddies in the spring.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, BWCAW. It's always a W at the end that gets me. Permit reservations for the 2025 quota season, May 1st to September 30th, will be available beginning 9 a.m. Central on Wednesday, January 29th.
It's funny that it's so...
It's only 3 months, eh?
Yeah. And so...
Whereas we can book 5 months.
And it's a rolling 5 months. Yeah. It's a constant rolling 5 month pre-booking timeline. And here it's just like, hey, everybody,
end of January,
everybody get to the start line, here we go.
Yeah. Visitors are encouraged to book their reservations online at recreation.gov to ensure a successful reservation. Superior National Forest managers encourage visitors to visit the Superior National Forest website for information on Superior and the BWCAW information page, and for an overview to traveling in wilderness and helpful trip planning information. Yeah, their sites have everything you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Thoroughly view the Boundary Water Trip Planning Guide and carefully consider whether a primitive wilderness trip is the best option for your group. You might discover a gem of a campsite outside the wilderness that provides a unique backcountry experience with no permit reservations or visitor use fees required. That's the best price, free. Superior has 265 backcountry campsites. Plan ahead by having at least 3 travel options, dates, and entry points in mind before making a reservation. Exploring new destinations is part of a wilderness experience. But that, like, if we're going to Algonquin and they told us that, okay, well, I'm going to choose Magnetowon access, or I'm going to choose Rain Lake access, or I'm going to choose, like, well, that's different trip for each.
Exactly, yeah.
Each
yeah.
one, right? So until you get approved for one, you don't know which trip you're taking.
Oh, exactly, right? Right? Exactly.
So am I going through Rain Lake and then up and around somewhere? Or if I'm going through Magnetowon, am I heading into Bice Lake? Or if I'm going up through Cedar, am I going, you know, a big loop or something?
And in this, specifically in this case, though, with Boundary Waters, this is the American side of the park, whereas we have Quetico on the northern or Canadian side, and you can book now in Quetico.
Right.
Right. So it's, again, it's the five-month rolling.
Reserve only the permits you can use. Choose an entry point that fits your skill level and a trip date that works for your schedule. When a permit holder makes multiple reservations in their name on the same entry date or has overlapping reservations, all but one permit will be canceled by the Forest Service without notification, because a group leader can only lead one trip at a time.
Right, yeah. No gamesmanship.
Right? Do your research now. Look online for route planning, guidebooks, trip ideas, and information. You can also contact local outfitters, guides, resorts, or cooperator permit issuing stations. Refer to the back page of the BWCAW trip planning guide for more information. Boundary Waters is a federally regulated area with regulations and rules that must be followed. Permit holders are responsible for sharing the Leave No Trace video series with their entire group prior to arrival. Everyone shares responsibility in preserving the wilderness. Yeah, there's videos on their site that you have to make everybody watch. here's our No Trace, Leave No Trace videos. You guys watch these.
Yeah.
And you got to make sure everybody watches them. Permits and more on the Boundary Waters at recreation.gov. When you go to that page, you just click on the permits, there's a big map that comes up with little red dots, and you zoom into where Boundary Waters is, and there's a dot. I think it says Superior Forest. It doesn't actually say Boundary Waters.
Correct.
It says Superior. So you click on that, and then the Boundary Waters page will open, and you can get all your information and permits and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, if you want to go, you got like just over a month.
Go now before the mining starts again.
Right? So, yeah, you got a month and a half before you got to do it. I didn't think we'd have an update on this story this fast.
This thing keeps sticking around. Eh?
Right? So the fella that faked his death and then they found out he wasn't dead.
Yes.
And they contacted him and he sent a video. And from over in Eastern Europe, Western Asia somewhere.
Yeah. Uzbekistan. He was originally in Georgia, then Uzbekistan.
So apparently now the Wisconsin man accused of hatching an elaborate plan to fake his death before he turned up with a woman in Western Asia has returned to the U.S. and has been arrested. Dun, dun, dun.
Why'd he come back?
I don't know. Ryan Borgwart, handcuffed and wearing an orange jumpsuit, appeared Wednesday afternoon. That's last Wednesday. Before a Green Lake County judge and was charged with obstruction of an officer. Circuit Court Judge Mark Slate asked him whether he could afford bail. Borgwart said, "I have $20 in my wallet in the other room and that's all I have." Since he voluntarily turned himself in on Tuesday from halfway around the world, Slate said he didn't pose a major flight risk and set the bail at $500. Borgwart posted bond and is walking free. He faces up to $10,000 fine and 9 months in jail in connection with the alleged scheme.
Plus the fact that he's He's getting divorced and...
Well, that's it. His wife has now filed a petition for legal separation.
No money, no house.
Described their 22-year marriage as irretrievably broken, you think? She is seeking sole custody of their kids. He staged his appearance on Green Lake, about 100 miles northwest of Milwaukee, to look like a fatal kayaking accident, as we've said before. They later found out he used a small inflatable boat to return to shore, where he stashed an electric bike. He rode it to Madison, Wisconsin, boarded a bus that took him to Milwaukee, Chicago, and Detroit, and into Canada, before he eventually boarded a plane. His plan was nearly foiled by Canadian Border Patrol agents who were suspicious of his not having a driver's license, which had been ditched with his wallet in the lake.
Hmm.
But not everybody drives, though.
And he was on a bus.
Yeah.
You can't travel on a...
driving the bus?
Yeah. You can't travel on a bus without a driver's license. Right? Like, hang on a sec.
Talked his way out of that stop and made it to Toronto, where he bought an Air France flight for Paris and flew from there to another country in Eastern Europe or Western Asia. Once he was at his post-Paris destination, he emailed an adult female who picked him up, and they stayed at the hotel for a couple of days. Playing board games.
Yes, I'm sure they're playing board games.
While the court documents didn't explicitly say where Borgwardt, who had $5,500 cash on him, ended up, prosecutors strongly suggested he was in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. Probe also found that he had opened a foreign bank account and was in communication with a woman from Uzbekistan. This just gets...
it's
more and more interesting.
It's interesting, but he's a bad criminal. He's a stupid criminal.
International calls for help to find Borgwardt went... out, and a Russian-speaking woman reached out to Green Lake County Sheriff's deputies and helped them contact him. So that's how they would have contacted him and got. They knew his plan was coming. He knew his plan was coming apart November 8th when he received an email from Green Lake County Sheriff's chief deputy.
He still was checking his emails?
Yeah. Judge Slate entered a not guilty plea and set his next court date for January 13th. Dun, dun, dun. So we got to wait till then for another update. I didn't think it would happen this. I thought
you'd never hear from him again.
I thought the last update was the last we'd hear of it.
Yeah.
Now we got this update. And there's another update coming in the middle of next month. Oh, this is just the gift that keeps on giving.
I know, right?
The thief, the canoe, and the whatever it was.
It was like a...
That was like the English version.
Yeah.
So this is just the American version.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Sarah Thompson, director of Ochi Canoe. O-C-H.
Ochi Canoe.
A-Y-E. Ochi Canoe has been named Scotland's Businesswoman of the Year at the Association of Scottish Businesswomen National Awards 2024. As the driving force behind Ochi Canoe, she has been helping to empower people from all walks of life discover the beauty of Scotland's waterways through kayaking, paddleboarding, and canoeing. The award is a testament to her passion, perseverance, and achievements in the outdoor adventure industry. Her journey began over two decades ago, rooted in a love for the outdoors and a deep commitment to inclusivity. Following a life-changing leg injury, whereby she could not walk and had a blue disabled badge, she had a popliteal bypass operation. Yeah, it's a leg operation. I can't even say it, dude.
I like your medical terms.
Yeah, it's a leg. Can you tell I live with a nurse? Yeah, it's a leg operation thingy. She worked hard to recover and transformed her own passion for paddle sports into a thriving business. Introducing paddling to people of all abilities and experiences, Through OkEyeCanoe, she has fostered a welcoming environment, ensuring everyone from beginners to seasoned paddlers has the chance to experience the Scottish outdoors. She said, "To be Scotland's Businesswoman of the Year means so much to me, especially given how far I've come personally and professionally. My experience taught me how powerful the outdoors can be for healing and empowerment, and I'm passionate about sharing that with others." There's so many people that are doing that nowadays, hey?
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, they get a taste of it, and they just try to drag everybody outdoors now.
All in, right? Whole hog. I'm all in on this.
And it's like, out of everybody I've taken out, I said, "Dude, you got to come camping, you got to come paddling, you got to." I'd say 98% of them.
Never go again.
Never go again.
Mm-hmm.
Until I go, I say, "Derek's not coming next time." 98% of them have a blast.
Yeah.
And I would love to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the people that you talk about and you show them pictures and they can't wrap their head around, "I'm not sleeping outdoors."
Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, but if you came with me and experienced it,
You'd see
there's more to it than just sleeping outdoors in a tent.
Yeah.
OkEyeCanoe isn't just a business. It's a way to inspire and uplift people. Sarah is also a powerboat instructor, marine radio, and first aid instructor. Her work goes beyond the water as she has collaborated with groups such as Help for Heroes and Limbless Veterans, guiding them in adapting paddling sessions designed for both adventure and healing. She's now a finalist for a UK-wide Paddle Quality Experience Award, with the winner to be announced January 23rd. Nomination is in recognition for providing outstanding paddle sport experiences, introducing innovative products, and creating new and existing paddling opportunities.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. Congratulations to her.
And it just came from, so she had like 2 decades ago, a major leg injury, mm-hmm. and it just changed the course of her life to the point where she's not only bettering her own life, but she's bettering a lot of other people's lives too.
Yep.
And now it's her new passion in life.
And it seems to be working well. OkEyeCanoeScotland.co.uk. Again, it's OkEyeCanoe, Scotland, all one word, .co.uk. Go check them out. See what they offer, see what they're doing. A lot of information there. And if you're over that way, jump on over and say, "Yeah, the guys from Paddling Adventures Radio sent us your way." And she'll go, "Who?
Who? Yeah. Who?
Not that Derek guy."
Yeah.
What a nerd. He's a nerd. I've been using that word so much over the last, 6 months. Everybody's a nerd.
Was it Animal House when the big guy says, "Nerds"?
No, that's Revenge of the Nerds.
That's Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah. That was the first one. Nerds. Oh, was that the 80s or was that the early 90s?
That was the 80s, I think. Yeah.
Was that the 80s? Revenge of the Nerds. And then number two came out and... Yeah. Ogre was his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hit the burping contest.
No, that was Booger.
Oh, it was Booger, wasn't Booger. It?
And his sensei was Snotty.
Yeah.
I know. I remember way too much about those movies. Oh, man. That's sad. That's so sad. My memory is shot. Unless it's stuff like that, Cliff Clavin.
Revenge of the Nerds is 1984.
That long ago?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow. I could have sworn it was only about 20 years ago. That's what they say is when people say, "Yeah, you know, back in the
1900s.
No, back, what is it like? Yeah, about 10 years ago, and we're all thinking the 1990s.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a sec.
No, that wasn't 10 years ago. Oh, you know, you're sitting there thinking about all these, you're going to watch Motley Crue and... You know, Metallica, and Def Leppard, and all that. And you're thinking, that's great. And then you're looking back at the ticket stubs that you got. 1983, 1987. Oh, my good God. I'm not saying I'm old, but damn. Okay, so I came across something here because, as I say, I was Googling. Because Googling's what I do. I'm not sure if this is, it sounds like it's being done. And if it's not, I think it should be because I know I would go. Urban kayak art crawls. Combine the sport of kayaking with the appreciation of riverbank public art, offering a unique way to experience a city. These events involve guided routes where participants can paddle and pause at various art installations. This not only introduces a fresh perspective on urban exploration, but also highlights the importance of river conservation. Now, see, I was looking, the way they did this article, it sounded like they were talking about something that happens, but there's no examples.
Yeah.
Of where, and I tried Googling where this is being done, and I couldn't find anything. So I don't know if this is an idea of somebody saying, hey, here's an idea, we should be doing this.
Or are they already
doing it? Or it is being done, they're just not telling us where.
I know not far north of us, there's an art walk, and it's open in the summer. You walk the trail, and there's all these art installations through the forest, carvings and sculptures and this, that, the other thing. But I'm unaware of any paddling art.
So this would just be like the art walk, except on the riverbank, right?
But so there's no specific examples
for this? No, I didn't see any specific examples whatsoever. So the plan would be cities worldwide are turning their riverbanks into open-air galleries of public art, perfect for kayak art crawls. Think big, bold murals that indicate and intricate sculptures that tell the city's history, culture, and dreams. By joining a kayak art crawl, you paddle up close to these masterpieces, often hidden or overlooked from regular viewpoints.
Interesting.
Kayak art crawls offer a green twist on a city exploration, encouraging low-impact travel and zero-emission fun. By paddling through the heart of the city, attendees form a bond with the urban waterways, fostering an appreciation for their ecological significance. This unconventional sightseeing adventure not only amplifies the beauty of rivers, but also cultivates a sense of stewardship for their conservation by raising awareness of environmental threats. Most fulfilling part of the urban kayak art crawls is the sense of community and cultural immersion they foster. These events feature talks by local artists, historians, and environmentalists, offering insights into the artworks and the river's ecosystem. This is a fantastic way for participants to connect with fellow art enthusiasts, spark thoughtful discussions, and cultivate a deeper appreciation for local cultures. Preparing for your urban kayak art crawl adventure is key. Cities typically require basic kayaking abilities and your own or rented equipment. Checking the weather is vital for a pleasant experience. Numerous companies offer guided tours, which include all required equipment and knowledgeable guides who provide information about the art viewed along the way. So that last part makes it sound like it's being done, but I couldn't actually find any examples of it being done.
I see. I'm searching it here, and I'm finding like hiking-based or walking-based art crawls.
That's all I could find.
And there's a news article here, which I think is where you got your story, that talks about that they're out there.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the examples?
Yeah.
There is a Group of Seven-inspired paddling trip.
Yeah, but that's finding different places they painted, right?
Mm-hmm. It's... I can only find the original story that you came across.
Yeah. I just saw that. I'm thinking, that's a cool idea.
It would be very cool.
Right?
But tell us more about them.
Yeah. Where? If anybody knows, drop a line. Put a message on this or drop us an email and say, yeah, there's these art crawls. Like a kayaking or paddling art crawl. And let us know where it is.
So I think I found the article you came across, but there's no links. There's no examples. There's nothing to book.
No. So that's why I was looking. I think, is this something they think should be done? But that last one talks like they're already happening.
There's a Karate Kid 6 coming out? Are we at 6 now? Sorry. It was at the bottom of the screen.
Squirrel!
Are we at 6? Anyways, yeah. So there's no
links.
There's
these kayaking, paddling, art crawl things, and then the Karate Kid!
Wait a sec. Anyway.
Rambo First Blood 72! Left turn, Clyde. So yeah, if you happen to know any of these paddling,
I would love to know more. If anybody knows of examples, like, reach out to us, because this sounds fascinating,
right?
And I saw a sort of a hint that it might be in, like, in Germany. You can get, there's a river over there that, it, but there's no details.
No.
So, very interesting.
And if anybody wants to go see Karate Kid 6, give Derek a call.
It was on the screen. It just shocked me. 6? Karate Kid 6? Are we at 6? I only remember seeing 2 of them.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Anyway.
Anywho, I think I got one more. One more thingy here.
Save it for next week.
Nah. Nah. Oh, look at that. We're still at 55 minutes and 55 seconds. Liam Cotter is on a trip of a lifetime alongside his friend Johnny Coyne. It sounds like a band, like a singer or something.
Cotter and Coyne.
Johnny Coyne.
Cotter and Coyne open today at the Daisy Lodge Inn.
The adventurous pair are kayaking from Dublin to Istanbul to raise money for Daisy Lodge in County Mayo. Therapeutic short break center for children across the island of Ireland diagnosed with cancer and their families. Quest will take 5 months to complete. The pair started at St. Patrick Rowing Club, Dublin, and will be kayaking through 16 countries to reach the Turkish city of Istanbul. They will kayak rivers and canals throughout Europe and hope to raise £30,000 for charity. Pair first met while completing an outdoor leadership course in Kinsale. They were, since we weren't that close during the course, but we and two others spent the summer working in Valencia Island, and that's where we really bonded, they say. When COVID-19 hit, Johnny returned home. When restrictions eased, he established an outdoor adventure center for sailing and kayaking, asked Liam to help him, and they spent 2 summers doing that. Just before last summer, Johnny rang Liam and told him about the trip, asked if he'd like to come, and Liam says, "How could I say no?" Johnny is no stranger to the world of adventure. In the past, he has cycled to Portugal with the cheapest bike he could find. 3 days of preparation, walked the entire length of Nepal through the tiger-infested jungle, and most recently cycled from Canada to Costa Rica.
I'm hearing a lot of unemployed connotations here.
Right? Liam revealed he always found himself happiest outside and in nature, and explained the positive effects it has had on his mind, how it relieved him of stress and anxiety, and always gave him a sense of confidence. He had been working in a factory in West Cork and found himself in a rut, stuck in the cycle of going to work, coming home. It was an opportunity of a lifetime he couldn't give up on while also doing something good for a wider community. They spent this past summer training, which involved rigorous physical conditioning and learning survival skills. Now they're averaging 30 kilometers a day traversing the waterways of Europe with kayaks, carrying all their belongings on board, freeze-dried food, liters of water, tents, change of socks, and that'll be their world for the next few months. They are sharing their journey on Instagram, providing location and weather updates, daily musings on their thoughts and feelings, and heartwarming anecdotes. Videos have blown up among the English kayaking and canal circles, and people are coming out to support them and fuel them along the way. Both are overwhelmed by the generosity and support they've received so far and how kind people can be. They're both overwhelmed with the support they have received at home and beyond. The unity and support from their families, friends, and the Cancer Fund for Children charity have fueled their desire to complete the challenge, making them feel part of a larger cause. When it was first announced that they would be undertaking this mammoth challenge, Liam revealed that many people also doubted them. and believe they wouldn't be able to complete the trip. But I mean, that's with everything. People say, oh, I'm going to do this big, massive. Yeah. I'm going to paddle across Canada.
Big dreams.
Until you reach the mountains, and then you're probably not going to happen, sort of thing, right?
We have an 800-kilometer portage coming up.
Right? It's not happening now. I'm calling it a day.
Yeah.
There are people who will doubt you until it's popular to support you.
True.
I like that saying.
Yeah.
This lack of faith has only fueled their determination as they are committed to proving these doubters wrong, inspiring the audience with their resilience and determination. So, Liam and Johnny successfully navigated the waters from England to France. Their journey has been marked by freezing temperatures, treacherous currents, winds that have blown them off course. Yet these challenges have only strengthened the resolve as seen on their daily vlogs shared on Instagram. To date, they have raised over 5,000 pounds.
Nice.
That's 1/6 of their goal. As they near the halfway mark of the expedition, Liam says he's learned a lot about himself and admits he's far more capable than he once thought. His newfound, I can do whatever I put my mind to mindset will get him to Istanbul and whatever life throws at him once the trip is over. They are now gearing up for the next leg of their journey into the heart of Europe. They look ahead with determination and gratitude, ready to conquer whatever rivers throw at them, knowing that every stroke brings them closer to their final destination and their goal of making a difference. With the support of their community and the drive to succeed, they remain unwavering in their mission, eager to see what lies ahead in their remarkable adventure from Dublin to Istanbul. So you can check them out on Instagram. Liam Cotcot, C-O-T-C-O-T, and Johnny V. Good. So
Johnny V. Good dot one.
N-N-Y, V-E, good dot one.
Yeah, so Johnny B. Good. He's trying to play off that.
He's playing off of Johnny B. Good, but it's Johnny V. Good. And then Liam Cotcot. Check out there. They do videos and that on there that explain what they're doing that day and what's happening. So it's about 3,600 kilometers by car and boat from Dublin to Istanbul. So if you do the Google Maps thing, it's about 3,600 kilometers.
And they're going to probably do triple that.
But they're going to do more than that because they're on the rivers and canals and all that sort of stuff. They've been stuck in France because it's illegal to paddle the canals from November to March.
I assume they didn't know that ahead of time?
I guess not. They're about 190 kilometers from Germany. They've been trying to get some kayak wheels to walk from Sermaise-les-Bains in France to the Black Forest in Germany, where the source of the River Danube, and 350 kilometers away. So they want to get a pair of kayak wheels, two sets, actually.
Yeah. Portage it.
To walk 350 kilometers to continue their trip. They are now 103 days into the trip. They've been having all these issues, and they do these videos explaining the issues they're having, just trying to find these sets of wheels. Finally, there's a company in Cork that is Funky Town Adventures, something like that, have managed to get them a couple sets of kayak wheels. Yeah. So they went up the Irish coast to Northern Ireland, across to Scotland, down the coast to England, onto the canals, and then the River Thames. They made it to London, then they went out the mouth and across the English Channel, solo, not supported, so they had all their stuff. They made it all the way through France to Sermaise-les-Bains, where they have been stuck for about 2 weeks.
What? The canal's closed? What are you talking about?
Right? So they're. I'll say about posting something from their page on our social so that you can get a little link to see what they're doing and follow along. It's pretty cool what they're doing. But the little videos are day 95. So we've been stuck here. And, yeah, they're camping and, it's been the worst day because everything's soaked and it's raining and it's cold and snowing starting. And, they thought they'd be farther along towards through Germany and whatnot. They still got still quite a ways to go. This has been 100 days. They still are only halfway there. Got another 100 to go, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, I don't know if it would have even crossed my mind to check if the canals were open. I mean, up here I would.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they lower the water or clear out the locks or whatever in the canal, like the Trent Severn, because of winter.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Right? But if you're not really thinking about that.
Yeah, if you don't realize that, well, here things freeze up, but not so much there.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just, is it only power craft or is the canals actually shut?
No, the canals,
down?
You're not allowed to paddle on the canals. It's illegal.
Not allowed to paddle, but there's no commercial traffic either?
Nope. No, no, you're not allowed to. By what they were saying, you're not supposed to be on the canals.
Hmm. Because here in the canals for between the Great Lakes, it closes at the end of December. So there's still a lot of, you know.
Is there still boat traffic on it?
Yep, right till end of December and reopens in March.
I thought it would be like November or something. They closed it all up.
It used to be.
Because that's typically when, September, everybody's going back to school and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the tanker traffic goes right to the end of December. It used to be...
You're talking the big... Welland Canal.
Yeah, the big Lakers.
Through,
yeah, I'm talking the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm talking...
Canal.
I'm talking like the Trent Severn.
So Trent Severn will close after the Canadian Thanksgiving.
Yeah, back in October.
Yeah.
Yeah. Welland Canal goes on for a little while still.
A little bit. Yeah.
I've actually seen that they've drained out water because they're doing repairs.
Oh, yeah.
There's a massive section of the Welland Canal with no water.
Yeah, it'd be wild.
It looks so weird. Because you're seeing these big tanker ships going through all the time.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing. So, Liam Cotcot and Johnny V. Good 1.1. Check them out on Instagram and follow along their trip to Istanbul, not Constantinople. And if you know your music, you'll understand. If you know, you know. That's all I got. You got nothing?
I was going to look up where's...
Istanbul?
No.
Or Constantinople?
No, the dude that's paddling down the East Coast.
Oh, Peter Frank.
Peter Frank.
Yeah, he's moving on his way.
I'm just... I couldn't remember his darn name.
So many people we meet.
I know. So he is currently tailspin. So he's doing well. His live tracker shows him in Whartonville.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of little blog updates and stuff too, right?
Yeah. He's quite a ways along there.
Yeah. He got hampered by some weather for a while and winds.
Mm-hmm.
But then when he makes the most of his opportunities when he can travel, he totally boogies, right?
He boogies along, and then
he's getting a lot of people coming out and meeting him, and
he's not far from Jacksonville. Another week.
Yeah.
Hmm. I wanted to see where he was.
Yeah. Other than that, anything else?
I do not.
Well, alrighty. Mid-December, getting close to Christmas.
Yeah.
I got some Christmas shopping to do.
I did that on the way here tonight.
Oh, yeah? What'd you buy me?
I didn't get you nothing.
Oh, it'll go perfectly on the shelf with the nothing you got me last year.
Exactly.
That's perfect. Thanks, buddy. Well, alrighty. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or you can just go to paddlingadventuresradio.com and you can stream or download all our episodes there. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.